Up first this afternoon. Look, we like it when people make the effort to come see us. And Sean Lash has traveled, I don't know what, 10,000 miles to get here?
A long way.
Sean is here from the Versant Power Astronomy Center and the Jordan Planetarium at the University of Maine, by way of Australia, where you were telling us before we came on, you spent 8 days traveling to spend 5 days there?
Yes, that's correct. So it was on the Expedition Eclipse as part of the CATE project, which is the Continental American Telescopic Eclipse. And this is a project where I'm one of the leads for the northeastern region of the U.S., and we're going to be setting up basically 40 telescopes or so along the path of totality next year for April 8th. So this is sort of an engineering run. We had a chance to go down to Australia. There was a group of 10 of us that went, three regional coordinators, and each of them having a grad student with them. And so one of my grad students, Nikita Sani, went with me. And going down and having a chance to, of course, see this eclipse, which was actually only 62 seconds long, so a very... very short eclipse, a long way to travel for that 62 seconds of totality. But we were able to test telescopic systems, test the training regime we'll be doing with people who are, you know, one of those 40 folks who will be setting up along the path of totality in 2024. Spectacular eclipse. Weather was perfect, absolutely clear, hot. Weather was very warm down there in the 90s, and had to wear lots of sunscreen. But just absolutely beautiful. We were in a very remote area, basically in this little town that had about 15,000 or so, right on the ocean. And just an amazing location to be in, a really great chance to see a total eclipse. These things are so spectacular. And the most special part of it for me really was seeing the reaction of Nikita. This was her first one.
Oh, wow.
And totality, the first time you see it really is, I mean, it's just something, you know, it's... the pictures just don't do it justice. It's almost like seeing a hole in the sky. The colors are so different. The sky is sort of silvery in effect, not completely dark, but dark enough where you see planets stirring and some of the brighter stars. This twilighty effect, birds and animals pay attention, the temperature drops. It's just really an all-encompassing thing. And you know, the first time you see them, you really get an idea of why ancient people feared these things.
Right.
But each time is spectacular. And this time, the corona just really beautiful. We posted part of the press release on our Facebook page, of course, that had one of the really nice images that was taken through by our group through those telescopes. And yeah, just an absolutely spectacular event.
And so we're about a year away, is it next April?
Yeah, April 8th of 2024, so just under the year mark. We've already got lots of solar eclipse glasses in. We'll be getting more in. We'll be gearing up. And this October, we're going to have a partial solar eclipse here. It'll be annular out west, which is where there's a ring light of sun left because the moon is near apogee, so it doesn't completely cover the disk of the sun. And that will be partial here in October, so we'll use that as a little test here to gear people up a bit too.
Nice, nice. We need good weather here next April.
That's the biggest thing, of course. You know, I'm really hoping our weather will cooperate. You know, with eclipses, you always hope to go to a place that has the least chance of being clouded out. You know, we'll keep our fingers crossed. This year in April 8th was great. Where, you know, but right now, for instance, the last couple nights we've had aurora, except, you know, here in Bangor, Orono area, of course, we've been completely clouded out. There's talk that there's supposed to be some more tonight. But again, weather is not looking good for us. You know, that's one of those things. Every time, you know, I've been here, you know, I've not seen the aurora here in Maine. Growing up in Wisconsin, I saw them several times. But here in Maine, you know, it's always been cloudy every time they've been around. So one of those things.
Absolutely. Well, we're getting ready to kick off the month of May and a lot of things happening. What's going on at the Versant Power Astronomy Center? You've got a brand new show. Tell us about... We Are Guardians, or is that the...
That's the current one. We Are Guardians actually finishes up this Friday. If you haven't seen it, it looks at satellites and their importance. And then, of course, we're finishing up this weekend with our Sunday shows, The Beatles for the Music one, and also, of course, Magic Globe, A Story of the Seasons. And then we start, basically next week, we start our new group of programs. So we have the Dark Matter Mystery, which is our Friday night show. It takes a look at what dark matter is, what we've been learning about this mysterious substance that we know exists and holds galaxies together. It's passing through us every moment. We don't feel it necessarily, but astronomers are still trying to figure out what this stuff is. And so we'll be talking about that and some of the ways they're doing so. Lucia and the Mystery of Shooting Stars is our family program this month, or in May, I should say, which is almost this month. coming up in May, that program takes a look at both aurora and shooting stars. So hopefully we'll get some more auroral activity this year. We'll have to wait and see. And then our music show, a new music show, Styx. So if you're a Styx fan, lots
away.
Of fun. You come Sail Away, Mr. Roboto, you know, all the great hits there, Crystal Ball, things like that. So that's going to be a really fun show. We also have a special concert, Boom, the Baroque Orchestra of Maine, on the 13th of May at 5 p.m. And this is a group here, Heidi Powell, sort of their lead. She's actually a UMaine alum, and she'll be doing a concert with her and some of her colleagues, a live concert in the Dome, very special event, and we hope folks can come check it out. Definitely really exciting for us to do that concert at the planetarium as well.
Excellent. And of course, as we roll into the month of May, things happening in the skies, a full moon coming up on the 5th of May. And then what else can we look for as May rolls in?
Yeah, May you start to have, there's a little bit of the Eta Aquarii meteor shower will be sort of towards the end of May or so. And then Venus right now is getting higher and higher in our sky. Just recently lost Jupiter, but Jupiter and Saturn we're going to be losing soon into twilight. Jupiter is starting to reemerge in our morning skies towards the end of this month and actually early into May. So you're going to start to see Jupiter there again and in the morning sky. And then later in the month, Saturn will reemerge in the morning sky there too. So nice. Kind of a transition moving through some of those planets to that time. And we'll have to wait and see about, like I say, we've had a lot more solar activity recently. We're not at maximum, but we're getting closer to it. And so potentially we'll get some more aurora, and hopefully we'll have some clear skies for that too.
Yeah, that would be great. Now, the crew has been announced for the first manned mission that's coming up next year. Jessica Meir was not on that, but is that a good sign? Does that maybe increase her chances of perhaps being the first woman on the moon?
Yeah, I think it was a good thing, given, of course, she just had a baby, as we discussed last time. So, so the new crew, the first human crew, of course, heading to fly around the moon, sort of a little bit of a repeat of Apollo 8, though they will actually go farther than any human crew has went before in terms of their orbital path, because they're looking at testing a little bit for that gateway, which is going to be this station that's supposed to be between the moon and Earth. And provide a launch platform to Mars and beyond. So I do think it's a good sign, Christina Koch was chosen for that. She also, with Jessica Meir, did the first all-female spacewalk a while back on ISS. We still keep our fingers crossed for Artemis 3, which they're saying sometime probably late 2025, if all goes well. Hopefully she'll still be, will be the first woman and the first Mainer on the moon. We can at least keep our fingers crossed for that.
That would be very cool. And in the world of commercial space ventures...
Yes.
Elon Musk, his rocket performed like Twitter.
Yeah. Not such a good test. However... that's one of the reasons we do these types of tests, is because occasionally things do fail. Learning process, though this one really was spectacular. I will say this, we needed internet service, we actually rented a Starlink unit while we were in Australia, because we were in a very remote place, and it worked really well for delivering internet service for the uplink that we needed to do for data and also for streaming the eclipse from where we were as well. This last test, not such a good thing. Did quite a bit of damage to the rocket pads too. So probably a little bit of work that's going to need to be done before they can relaunch.
All right. Sean Latch from the Verse and Power Astronomy Center. Good to have you back here stateside.
Yeah, good to be back.
Yeah, get some rest.
That's the plan.
All right. We'll see you soon. Thank you, Sean.
Sounds good.